Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Well, hi, hello, and how are you? I am Mark in San Diego, Beth in Texas. Thanks so much for checking in with us again. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's hard to believe the year is almost over. We were off last week, and next week we are off. God, it's hard to believe we are already at Thanksgiving. It is unreal how fast this calendar year went by. Next week, we're back to Plymouth Rock and Pilgrims, and for us, we're talking about portion control and eating correctly. So.
Pilgrims, that's funny. Yeah.
So this week, I've got a special guest. I want to plug that. She's going to be coming on the second half hour, Dr. V, and she's a best-selling author, writer, speaker. Doctor, you've known her for a while, right, Beth? I mean, people are going to want to hit this interview because she's incredible.
Yeah, I've known her for a few months, and she is just very gracious and very smart. So cannot wait to talk to her.
Yeah. So if you're just checking in, we'll have Dr. V in the second half hour. Remember, you listen to AtlantaLifeRadio.com. You can always send us an email at goingjimfree@gmail.com and download shows if you're not listening to us right now on iTunes and Stitcher. You can follow us on Twitter at ALR Radio, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio, and you can also follow us at Going Jim Free. Make sure to like us on Facebook and all of that stuff. So Beth, let's kind of put the I know last week we were off, so we can kind of put the political stuff aside because you and I don't really talk about that. We're health and wellness people, but it was funny. So this is the time of year, and I know you get this a lot because it's holiday time. And so people want to talk about holiday stress, staying, you know, still exercising during the holidays, portion control, and all of those things, right? So last week I did a Going Jim Free seminar at a company out here in San Diego, a company called H.G. Fenton. I'll give them a plug, H.G. Fenton. Gracious enough, and they were really interested. But it was funny because I did it on Thursday, and the election, of course, was on Tuesday. And because you know how last Wednesday it seemed like so many people, whether their candidate won or lost, was in kind of this post-election stupor / hangover, and that was my joke to get the whole thing started. I said, is everybody all right, or does everybody still have the post-election hangover? And everybody started laughing because we had finally, maybe two days afterwards, people were finally getting back to, okay, let's get on with this and move onward and upward. But people laughed, and people were finally saying, okay, let's move on, let's talk health and wellness. And so what are your thoughts about that? Did you have that last week too, Beth, where people kind of – I know on Wednesday when I was trying to do work, people were just either out of it or they were ranting or excited on social media. And, oh, boy, can we just put that to rest finally?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, just hope for the best. And I am so glad that the commercials will stop. So it seems like every commercial was a politician. And so anyway, so much needed So move on.
Yeah, it was totally time for it. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing now for the holiday. You're working with doing consults. Do you get a lot of questions this time of year? Because I found in doing this seminar, this is kind of the time of the year where people are nervous with the holiday parties. The in-laws are coming over. I was getting so many, Beth, it's so funny. I was getting so many questions and so many concerns, more so from the women in the group, because I think this is a stressful time for them. But it was, Mark, I don't have this time of year. I don't have time to walk, which I find that funny in San Diego because it's about 90. It feels like summer out here, but they don't have time to walk. Like I said, families coming over, kids struggling in school. I'm not sure if these people are coming over for the holiday. Do I need to shop more? And I don't think a lot of people realize this. I didn't really realize this until I got into this kind of as a profession, but maybe you can talk about this, Beth, but this is a really stressful time of year for people, isn't it?
Oh, well, I think it's all perception. I mean, for me, it's not. It's not at all.
Right.
But for those folks that have big families and that host the holidays, I mean, I can certainly understand that and appreciate that. So it's all perception. I don't let myself get out of tizzy in the holidays, and I don't have any big plans at all. So,
me neither. Right.
But I would say the majority, I would say, 70% of the folks do have that stress level goes way up. And for the other 30%, I would say it goes up a little bit or not at all. So, you know, keep things in perspective. It is what it is. I just said that about the election. So it is what it is. Just know that you're going to be busier and you just have to plan a little bit more. Write it down. Plan it. That's the most important thing you can do.
And I don't want you to be stressed about buying me the perfect gift for the holidays. I'm just letting you know that right now. You can feel free to buy me an ugly sweater with a bad picture of a greyhound that looks like Murray. I don't care. You can send me whatever, and
okay.
We'll be
duly noted. Duly noted.
That's right. You like your pugs.
I like my pugs.
And I will promise, I'm making a promise to you that I won't send you a fruitcake.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Have you ever had fruitcake?
I tasted it one time, and the only thing I remember was it was just really like hard to chew, and it was very dense, and it seemed like everything but the kitchen sink was in it. So I didn't like it, but
yeah.
I know it's that kind of holiday seasonal treat that some people like, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yay for them.
It's the most awful thing ever. I'm going to come out and say it. It's horrible. But for those of you that like it, don't send in any email saying, Mark, the host doesn't like fruitcake. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Shame on you.
It's not good. Okay. So what do you want to do? You want to do the Ask Beth segment? Because I know you got some questions.
Sure.
Are you up for it? Are you ready? Okay.
I am up for it.
Let's just jump into it. So these are a couple questions that we got. Here's the first one. I can only commit to 15 to 20 minutes a day for exercise. Do you have any ideas on what I can do in those few minutes to make it worth my time? That's from Tanya Guidry. Beth, take this away, and then I'll put in my two cents because I think there's a lot you can do. Go ahead. Fire away.
Well, first off, I think so many people are pressed for time, whether it's perceived or it's real. I mean, and we're coming up on the holidays and people are going to be busier. So, I respect that and whatnot. But if you truly can only commit to those, you know, 20 minutes a day, I would encourage you to do something. I'm really into circuits. So, I'm going to say maybe do a Tabata style workout, which is when you do 20 seconds of really, really high intensity exercises with a 10-second break. And you're going to do 4 to 5 exercises and repeat that 6 times. I mean, you can do drop jump squats, push-ups, full body V sit-ups, you know, up and under, and repeat that 5 more times. I mean, do that a total of 6 to 7 times, and you're going to get your heart rate up, you're going to tone your entire body, and you're going to shred that, and that is an amazing workout. I mean, it's going to be, if that's all you can commit to and you can't get a 30-minute power walk in or anything like that, 15, 20 minutes, you've got your workout in. So Tabata, that's what I would say. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And a couple things, I always peel it back because I actually answered this question with a couple people last week. First of all, the majority of people have more time than that. They don't realize they have time. And what you know, if you talk to a lot of people and they kind of laugh, because I do a trick with them, and I say, okay, well, are you on Facebook? Are you on Twitter? Are you on all of these things? And they say yes, yes, yes. And I said, well, then you have time. You're spending. It's how you spend your time. So for the first thing that I would say is, you have the time, and you make the time to do this. So if you say that no matter how busy I am, I'm going to carve out, I know I have to do 30 minutes of exercise a day, and to heck with the rest of things for half an hour. It's really not that much time. So what you prescribe there, Beth, as a workout is wonderful, I think. That's awesome. And I would say even, you know, some of the things that I do is even walking in place, jogging in place in front of the TV. If you live in a nice neighborhood, just a short walk around. Hopefully, I know it gets dark early, so if you can do it, if you can find time to do it, maybe early in the morning. But anything that involves some movement to me is good. So find the time. You have 20 to 30 minutes. I've yet to meet someone. I know people are slam busy, especially people like you and me. But I tell people if they have time to do social media, make it a habit. So if you have time to think of it as brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth every day, right? So do this. Okay. How was that? Was that good for my, was that a soapbox I got on there, Beth? I'm sorry.
Yes, it was. But oh my gosh, no. I mean, you say it every week and it's great to, you know, hit that home that you do have the time. So marking in place or whatever, but if you want it more intense and you really
sure
don't have this. So, you know, either way. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. Thumbs up.
Walk in place as you're cooking the turkey. Take a break, you know, kind of baste the turkey and then walk in place for a minute. All right. Question two, how much protein, carbs, and fats do I need and why? And are low-fat diets healthy? That's from Macy Cologne.
The macronutrients, proteins, carbs, and fats, I think the important thing for everybody to understand is together those three things, those macronutrients, and the micronutrients are more like your vitamins, your vitamin C, vitamin D, that you don't need much of. But together, they supply your body with energy and the tools needed for metabolism, cell development, and replacing the things that you're losing throughout the day. So, and also they're really necessary for your body. So as a general rule, and I'm going to actually do kind of a wide variety here, but carbohydrates, anywhere from 45 to 65% of your calories from carbohydrates. Fats, you need 20 to 35%. And then protein, 10 to 35. So it really depends if you're weight training, you're doing heavy weights, or you're bodybuilding, you're going to be more on that upper level for the carbs and the protein. So, and the reason it is carbohydrates supply the bulk of the energy needed for you to keep your body fuel. So when you haven't eaten carbohydrates and they're not available, your body breaks down fats or protein for energy. And then piggybacking on that, if you're not getting enough protein, your body's going to break down your muscles for energy. So even though carbs have gotten a bad rap, it basically carbs give you the energy to fuel your workouts, to drive, to think. So,
I was going to say, Beth, go ahead and say that again, the percentage part, because I think that is key. So what were you saying about carbs, 45 to 65? Go ahead and say that again, because if people are writing it down.
Carbohydrates, 45 to 65% of your calories. Fat, 20 to 35%. And then protein, 10 to 35. And you can kind of play with those a little bit. And it's going to change from time to time and from your workouts and what your goals are. So, absolutely. So
I think those are good numbers. And because I get that question from time to time too. And Yeah, and I like what you said about, you know, some of those numbers can kind of slide a little bit here and there. But if that's kind of the blueprint for it, I guess, for lack of a better word, I think you're in good shape. But yeah, so keep an eye on it, right? That's what people need to do. I mean, don't obviously if you have your plate for Thanksgiving and it's all mashed potatoes, stuffing, sweet potatoes, that's probably carb overload, right?
Yeah,
going the other way. Yeah, you're going too much. So, you know, I think it's good for people to. I think it's great what you just said with the percentages, and it's great for people to. And maybe I'll put a picture of this, you know, up online for people. You know, they sometimes you see those pictures, and it's kind of like a pie chart, and it just shows you. And it's a good visual demonstration of what your plate should look like. So I think that's great. Yeah, that's good for you. Good for people to know the numbers. Okay.
Well, let me finish. Let me finish that question
about
low fat diets because she mentioned of low fat, you know, diets, healthy, unhealthy. I know it was the wave. It was so popular just a few years ago, but low fat diets are not good for you. I mean, if you're eating the healthy fats like salmon and almonds and olives and things like that, I mean, you're really doing your body a lot of good because low fat diets can really deprive your body of some of those, you know, micronutrients, the vitamins that are carried through fat. So, I mean, just an example, if a woman eats a little too fat and doesn't get enough on her diet, she can stop having a normal menstrual, you know, cycle. So, binging also becomes more likely if your fat intake drops below that 10 to 25% depending on your body type. So, you know, low-fat diets are not healthy. Just make sure you're getting the healthy fats. And not the trans fats, or the hydrogenated type of fats. So,
and it's funny too because remember when high protein diets were all the rage, and I never was on that, but I had about what year are we in? I don't know. Anyway, about 10 years ago, I don't even know where I am now. About 10 years ago, I had a kidney stone, and when I went to my doctor, and he said. We were talking about diet and I told him, you know, I'm more careful now than I was 10 years ago, but he had said when the Atkins diet was big, which was all protein based, he said, it's so hard on the kidneys. People were just eating protein. He said, I was seeing people all the time for kidney stones. So you have to be, I think what you said is great in that you want to be careful. This kind of gets back to what we always talk about moderation and balance. You want to be careful about not going too heavy in any of these directions. And
right.
That's what I get concerned about just in general when I read about diets, when people ask me about them, from what I know about nutrition, and you know much more than I do, but from what I know, I really try to keep it balanced because, yeah, if you get real heavy on one thing, it kind of takes you down a bad road. So careful, I guess, is the message.
Yeah.
Okay. Good diet stuff. Last question from Paula Knight. What do you know about turmeric?
What do I know about turmeric? Well, honestly, not a lot.
Okay.
Turmeric is a spice in curry, and I do know that it's really popular, and I probably could say it's one of the most popular herbs on the planet right now as we speak. So, I mean, join in when I actually read an article that turmeric does have a lot of healing properties. Again, read your articles, talk to your doctor, but one of the main healing compounds is curcumin, and I know a little bit more about that than I do turmeric. But saying that, turmeric is on the top of the list of one of the most frequently medicinal herbs like garlic, cinnamon, ginseng, ginger, milk thistle, and it's used as an anti-inflammatory for things like arthritis or problems with your joints. I know a lot of folks with RA take this. You know, and of course, inflammation in your digestive system. So, but like anything, talk to your doctor. Make sure that if you're taking certain medications, you need to be careful when using turmeric in your food or supplementing with it because herbs can interfere with some meds, anti-inflammatory drugs. So as with any herb or supplement, use as directed, talk to your doctor. But I do know that it's really popular. A lot of people swear by it, and it's basically an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, and I was just, as you were answering that, I was looking up some more information on it, and you know it talks about joint and muscle health, like you said, inflammatory mood. It should help your mood, you know, cognitive function. But like you said, it's people react differently to different things, so definitely see your doctor and talk to your doctor about that. But yeah. The benefits could be there, and again, everything in moderation, and ask a lot of questions, and do a lot of. That's the great thing about nowadays, right? I mean, even if someone can't get to their doctor, there's so much information out there. It's just finding the right information, I guess.
Right.
So ask a lot of questions. Ask you, ask me, and we kind of go from there. So. I am excited about what's coming around the corner after the commercial break with Dr. V. So she's great, we are in November. We've touched and we're gonna have probably a guest after Thanksgiving. We have touched on a little bit about this being Diabetes Awareness Month. So obviously a huge month for that. October was obviously Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But, you know, what we're doing on our show, because some of the guests had to get backed up and spilled in November, and it's still a very timely, incredible topic to talk about. So this month we've focused a little bit on diabetes and breast cancer. So her story is, not only is she really, really, not only is she really, really smart, but her story is great. Her attitude is good. She's inspirational. She's motivational. She's creative. All things you would want, I would think, in life. So I'm looking forward to it. And I know, Beth, you've known her for a couple months, and it's good stuff, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Dr. V, so stay with us. You're listening to Let's Talk Going Gym Free on AtlantaLifeRadio.com on a Wednesday night. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Executive Producer Mel D, and we thank you for tuning into today's show. Today's show would not be made possible without the support of our loyal sponsors. If you own a business, offer a service, or are a fan of the show, become a sponsor. Please go to our website at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com to the Advertise With Us page to view and download our new advertising kit. We offer new and affordable opportunities for you to become a part of our shows. And now we return back to our program.
And we are back here on a beautiful Wednesday night as we make our way towards the Thanksgiving holiday next week. If you're just joining us, you're listening to AtlantaLifeRadio.com. You can always send us an email at goinggymfree@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can also follow Atlanta Life Radio at ALR Radio. Also check out the Going Gym Free Tips of the Week on YouTube. And if you miss this show live, then you can check it out on iTunes and Stitcher. So great show. We're going to have a great guest coming up here in a second. We're kind of continuing, even though we are into November, we're still talking about breast cancer and breast cancer awareness, even though that was in October. Certainly a pertinent topic throughout the entire year. So let's go ahead and bring on our guest tonight, Dr. Véronique Desaulniers. She's a best-selling author and a number one best-selling book, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, The 7 Essential Steps to Beating Breast Cancer. Dr. V, can we call you Dr. V? How are you?
Absolutely. Dr. V is a lot easier for the audience. Yes, I'm doing great.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's a mouthful, but a really nice name. You would tab yourself as a bioenergetic chiropractor. Tell us a little bit about that, what that is for people that don't know, and maybe a little bit about your background.
Well, the short version is, you know, when I discovered chiropractic when I was 16 years old, my chiropractor was giving a lecture on health and wellness back in the day, and it was one of those light bulb moments. I knew I wanted to bring wellness to the world. So I became a chiropractor and was living my dream, and after 3 years in practice, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And that was a real life-changing moment for me, because I knew innately that there was something that could have been done for him, but I wasn't quite sure. So 1983 back then, no internet, so I, you know, went to the library, started doing research, spoke to a few cancer clinics, and recognized that there was something that could be done or could have been done, but unfortunately, my father was given a six-week sentence to go home and die, and he did. You know, he was dead within 6 weeks, unfortunately. So I took that fire in my soul, basically, and started applying these principles in my practice, and was teaching people more about nutrition and energy medicine and supplements and herbs and homeopathy and all these things that could really help reverse their dis-ease in their body, and started seeing amazing results. I mean, everything from rheumatoid arthritis to autoimmune diseases, MS, cancer, all these things were reversing, and it's because they were applying the laws of the universe and the laws of nature and taking responsibility for their health. So that's basically how I, you know, dove into that bioenergetic aspect of being a holistic doctor.
You know, Dr. V, I loved it when you said you wanted to bring this to the world, because Mark and I have said that very same thing. And one of the reasons we started this radio show, I've actually read your book. I actually have read it two times, and I was in awe and thoroughly impressed with your story and your passion with life and helping people. That your journey with cancer was not a traditional one. Can you tell the audience and us a little bit about your journey, and why did you choose a less traditional route?
Well, fast forward, you know, 25 years in practice, and, you know, I was Dr. V, I had it all together, or so it looked like, you know, on the outside. I had a very successful practice and beautiful family and all that. But then on my way to work one day, jump in the shower, and bam, you know, I did a self-breast exam, and I felt that lump in my left breast, and I knew, my gut told me, I just knew that it was not a benign cyst. So that really was quite a shock for me, because, you know, here I was teaching everybody about health and wellness, and I was the one dealing with breast cancer now. So that made me realize that there must have been some pieces of the puzzle that I was missing. I mean, if somebody like me, who was involved with health since I was 16 years old, ate organic before organic was in style, did wheat grass, did, you know, supplements, chiropractic care, exercise, you name it, I did it. But I ended up with breast cancer. So what was I missing? So I went down that rabbit hole of research and soul searching and recognized that there were some pieces of the puzzle that I had missed. And if someone like me, who had been in practice for 25 years and I had the background and the research available to me, how much more difficult would it be for the average woman who's faced with a diagnosis? So I wanted to simplify the journey, and that's when I created the 7 Essential System, basically a step-by-step guide that if you follow, you never have to fear cancer or any disease for that matter, because it doesn't matter. It's all the same core root: inflammation, stress, toxicity, you know, emotional. I mean, it just goes down and down. So you know, basically, if you follow those 7 steps, then, you know, you can really live a healthy, vibrant life.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. V here on AtlantaLifeRadio.com on a Wednesday night. Dr. V is a best-selling author of a number one best-selling book, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, The 7 Essential Steps to Beating Breast Cancer. Dr. V, really interesting conversation we're having. What I want to ask you is, what brought you to create the Breast Cancer Conqueror Movement and then those 7 essentials for healing and preventing breast cancer?
Well, the 7 essentials I created because I wanted to take the frustration and the confusion and the overwhelm out of a healing journey. Because when you're faced with a diagnosis, and I don't care what kind of diagnosis it is, whether it's cancer or MS or whatever, there's always that initial shock. And, you know, where do you start? What do you do? And so if you start with number 1 is food, that's a great place to start. And number 2 has to do with toxicity. And number 3 is balancing your energy. And 4 is your emotions. 5 is the dental. 6 is the actual evidence-based natural medicine, and 7 is, you know, different tests and things that you can do to keep a pulse on your health. So, you know, that it takes the, you know, the confusion out of a healing journey. So you have a guide. And then when I retired, quote unquote, after 30 years in practice, I just started sharing my healing journey. I threw up a website. I wrote a book. I had no idea really what I was doing, and led to another, and now we've coached women in 21 countries. So everything I do is virtual, online. I have 2 coaches now, health coaches that are actually doing the coaching and helping reach women around the globe. So it's pretty amazing how it all worked out.
Yeah, no doubt. That's incredible.
Isn't that amazing? Part of your mission is to inspire women all over the world to be proactive with their health and their wellness and to help them make informed decisions. Can you discuss the 7 essentials maybe a little bit more in detail?
Oh, sure. So, and feel free to interject because I could talk for an hour.
No, it's fascinating. Just keep talking.
Okay, so essential number 1 is let food be your medicine. And what I encourage people is to look at food as a prescription for health. And the biggest thing they have to do, first of all, is get rid of the carbs and the sugar, because we know sugar feeds cancer. Bottom line, you get a PET scan, you're injected with radioactive glucose. What lights up first? The cancer cells. So we know cancer cells get PET first when it comes to sugar. So, and looking at more vegetables and alkalizing your diet. Essential number 2 is detoxification. Reduce your toxic exposure. Well, we can't live in a bubble, but we can do things to minimize our exposure to chemicals, pesticides, by eating organic food, watching what we have in our home. You know, simple things. Instead of a scented candle that's chemically scented, get rid of it and get something that is essential oil-based. You know, you get much better effects. Look at what you're putting on your skin. Everything is absorbed into your body. So if you're using antiperspirants, for example, that's blocking the lymph in the armpit, and aluminum is classified as a metalloestrogen, which means it mimics and stimulates estrogen in the body, which is right there in that breast area. So men and women, you know, don't use those kinds of deodorants. And there's ways to detox your body with, far infrared saunas and fasting and colonics and coffee enemas and all kinds of things. Essential number 3 is balancing your energy. You know, we're energetic beings. We're 1 billionth physical matter. The rest is all energy. So how do we balance that energy? Through proper sleep, balancing your hormones, proper exercise, chiropractic care, acupuncture, you know, all these things that help to balance the energy. Number 4 is the toughest one for most people. It has to do with your emotions and healing the emotional wounds. Women are good, or people are good in general, if you give them a protocol, do this, do this, do that. But when it comes to really taking time for themselves, to self-nurture, self-love, to heal their heart, to forgive themselves, forgive others, all those things are a little difficult because it's not as practical. You can't touch it. It's something that you have to do for yourself. And then number 5 has to do with biological dentistry. What you have in your mouth is affecting your health. Silver fillings are not silver. They're 50% mercury, and that's the most toxic element on the planet. So find yourself a biological dentist who really knows what he's doing to remove those toxins from your mouth. because not only from a chemical point of view, but from an energetic point of view. You know, those teeth are attached or connected to your organs through your acupuncture meridian system. And I saw this time and time again for over 20 years when I had the brick and mortar practice. And now that we do coaching and we ask women about their dental, there's always, 99% of the time, there's a dental connection. If they've got a root canal or an amalgam on the breast meridians, then, you know, that needs to be addressed. Number six is dealing with evidence-based natural medicine. And I say evidence-based because everything, if you look at the book, there's over 500 published studies that confirm and support what I'm stating in the book. So, for example, if you go to pubmed.org, you can, that's, you know, the National Library of Medicine, all the published studies are filed there. So you can search curcumin in cancer, vitamin C in cancer, selenium in cancer, bloodroot in cancer, and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of studies, thousands sometimes, on these things to show how they have a positive effect on your immune system and kill cancer cells. And then the last one is very early detection and keeping a pulse on your health. So thermography is great. There's certain blood tests that you can do that will discover if you have cancer and where it is, what type it is, when it's just the size of a pinhead. So it's a great tool to use to, you know, keep a pulse on how you're doing, because a lot of people who've been told that they're quote-unquote cancer-free, they may not be cancer-free. They may have cut out the tumor and maybe there's nothing visible on a scan, but if there's still circulating tumor cells, then those need to be addressed as well. So there you have it, 7 essential steps.
Wow. Yeah, you're like I am when I do these going gym free seminars. Like you kind of get right to the point. It makes it seem very simple, and it's good. I mean, I think it's great. And it you know, I don't know if you see this a lot, Dr. V, but when I talk to people and do consults or whatnot, and I know Beth does this as well, it's amazing how much diet, exercise, rest, emotional well-being, how far that can take you. You know what I mean? And it's an amazing thing. So there's so many various factors that can cause cancer to develop in the body, and you kind of touched on a lot of them there. You know, carbs, sugar, whatnot. Any other specific triggers? Maybe here, Dr. V, you can talk about the emotional well-being component a little more. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah. We can definitely talk about the emotions. You know, we now know because of psychoneuroimmunology that your mind and your body are connected through the, you know, the limbic system and through all the neurochemicals that your brain secretes. In fact, they now know that there's neuropeptides that your immune cells communicate to your brain and your brain communicates with your immune cells. So they talk back and forth. And they've actually shown, Candace Pert was ahead of her time, and she did some amazing research. She wrote a book called The Molecules of Emotion. And, you know, she discovered a lot of these neuropeptides and how your thoughts actually affect your immune system and how your body heals. In fact, she said that your emotions are not just mind, but they become your body. You know, they actually express themselves in physical things. So, for example, if somebody's always stressed out and unhappy and has specific personality traits and patterns, then they would have a tendency to be at higher risk for breast cancer. There's actually a personality profile that you can look at the traits. And if you've got 3 out of 5, you've got to do some changing to do if you don't want to, you know, go down that path and be another statistic. Because, you know, people don't realize this. I mean, it's an epidemic. 1 out of 2 men, 1 out of 3 women are destined to develop some form of cancer in their lifetime. I mean, that's a pretty steep statistic. So
that's a huge number. So big.
Yeah.
Very big.
You know, I would think that of all the essentials that you talked about, the emotional part would be one of the most challenging or difficult for people to change. I mean, you can eat healthy, you can take some supplements, you can exercise, but if you're, you know, wired like a type A personality or, you know, that, I think that would be really hard for a lot of people to change. So, I mean, do you encourage people to meditate to, or what do you do?
Well, let me answer your first question about, yes, it is very difficult for people because for the first time in their life, they have to stop and do something for themselves and look at the emotional aspect, because a lot of people have never done that, and that's difficult. It's looking in the mirror and really recognizing that, you know, cancer is a message of love. And, you know, your body's been whispering to you for many, many years, but you haven't paid attention. So it's a wake-up call, because if you keep doing the things you've always done, you're going to get the same results. Excuse me. So it's about a total transformation. It's not just getting rid of the lump or the bump, but it's transforming your whole life, every aspect of it. And so we do have, when we work with women and they're part of our coaching program, we have an emotional protocol that they do. They have questionnaires that they fill out. They have homework assignments. We have certain people that we may refer them to for EFT, you know, different kinds of therapies. I mean, there's meditation and, you know, all kinds of things. There's so many things out there now that we can do to support our emotional heart. And, you know, to answer your question about what do I do, well, this was a big one for me because I resisted that for so many years. And as you read in the book, you know, there was my childhood was not a very happy one, a lot of stress, sexual abuse, alcoholism, and I spent most of my adult life as a wounded child, and I had no idea. And once I got the help that I needed and I really, you know, did some serious soul searching and heart healing, then I recognized that I could let go of that and really be happy, you know, really be happy for the first time in my life. And it was a quite a journey, but it, you know, it ended up to be a very positive one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, Dr. V, can you tell us a little about EFT? Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, I love EFT. I've known about EFT for, oh, goodness, 10, 12 years. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and basically it's acupuncture for the emotions, but you do it with your fingertips. You just tap on specific points on the head, on the face, on the side of the hand, collarbone, under the armpit. And they've actually done studies at Harvard, and they've shown that tapping – they've done this through MRIs, it actually lowers, you know, the stress responses in the brain. And that's what it is. You know, there's so much background chatter that's going on because we're in the fight-or-flight mode all the time. I mean, you know, driving down the interstate, having to get up, having to do this, you know, go, 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 go all day. Our mind and our bodies are in that, you know, fight-or-flight. And what EFT does is it interrupts that chatter and interrupts that stress response. And again, they've done studies that lowers cortisol levels, and it helps you to reframe your beliefs, because our beliefs, our subconscious beliefs, are what drive our life, right? And until you become conscious of those subconscious beliefs that are driving you, and you clear them and you release them, you're going to be a slave to those subconscious beliefs. And so it's a great tool to have. And you can go to a good website is thetappingsolution.com, and you can find certified EFT practitioners that can help you through it.
Yeah, I've actually tried that. It's a little difficult for me to kind of, you know, get the hang of it, but I can definitely see the benefits of that. And you also had mentioned essential oils, which I heard you speak at the Essential Oil Summit a couple of months ago. So I'm completely on board with essential oils, and I've always thought I was a healthy eater, which I'm sure there are areas I can improve. But I want to know, let's talk about prevention a little bit. Are there specific nutrients or supplements that women and men should be aware of if they want to prevent breast cancer?
Well, the first place to start is to make sure that your vitamin D levels are optimal. It just amazes me when women start working with us and they've been through traditional medicine and they've never tested their vitamin D levels, because simply taking vitamin D can reduce your cancer risk by 83%, just doing that. So you want to take vitamin D3 along with vitamin K, and have your levels tested. You know, don't guess when it comes to your health. Always test to make sure that you're in the proper range. The next thing would be to check your iodine levels. Excuse me. Iodine is extremely important for thyroid and breast health, and most people are very deficient of iodine just because we're not getting it through our food anymore. But secondly, we're exposed to so many things called halides, like bromide, for example. Bromide is a flame retardant. And it's in all our electronics. It's in our clothing. It's in the carpeting. It's in our cars. If you eat traditional American food, it's in the food. And so bromide competes with iodine and kicks iodine out of the body. So you're iodine deficient. Well, what happens then? Your thyroid cells and your breast cells start to create cysts. And then if they still don't get enough thyroid, enough iodine, then they start multiplying, and that can lead to some issues. And you know, women that are on thyroid medication are twice as likely to develop breast cancer than those who are not.
Wow. Hey, Dr. V, before we let you go, a couple quick points. First of all, where can people learn more of your techniques and everything is fascinating? Where can people find you on social media and find your book and kind of give yourself – you have full access to a nice plug right here. So,
hey, great.
Where can people find you?
Well, the first place would be with the website, Breast Cancer Conqueror, CONQUEROR, breastcancerconqueror.com. And obviously we're on Facebook. I have a fan page as well, so Breast Cancer Conqueror. And you can find the book on the website. You can find delectable dishes. I've got over probably about 300 recipes now, all no sugar, grain-free, sugar-free, all that stuff. And, you know, the best part of it to me is, it, you know, all the blogs are divided into the 7 essentials. So if you're interested in more about reducing your toxic exposure, then you can read the blogs on number 2. Or if you want to get more to the emotional, you can read more about number 4. So a lot of evidence-based information on the website, and I'm quite proud of it, actually.
Yeah, no, you should be, because it's awesome. Hey, last kind of general question for you, and we had a breast cancer survivor on the show a couple weeks ago. She was fantastic as well, amazing story. Can you tell our listeners out there, and this goes, you know, for women and their husbands too, and everybody around that has to, you know, deal with something like that, breast cancer affects so many people. But can you kind of talk to the point about, and I guess we can't get this point out enough, early detection. And, you know, you might have somebody that says, maybe they're, like you mentioned, you're in the shower and you discover a lump, but you generally feel good and you're like, well, maybe it's nothing. I feel good. I just ran 5 miles, and I eat right and all of those things. Can you maybe speak to the point of telling people, look, this is important, that don't let it go, check it out, know when to check it out. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. So one thing people don't realize is that you don't just wake up one morning and you've got cancer. You know, it's taken 5 to 8 years for cancer to develop, and that's according to the American Cancer Society. By the time they see a lump or a bump on a mammogram, it's been there for 5 to 8 years. So with that in mind, wouldn't you want to have 5 to 8 years of prevention in case there was something that was developing? And so there are tools that you can use. So thermography is awesome. It does not diagnose cancer, but it can show you some physiological changes going on in the breast if there's more heat or more inflammation. Then there's, you know, the early detection, some of the blood tests. There's a blood test called the OncoBlot test that you can find on our website, and one blood test can determine 27 different types of cancers. So if you have cancer in where, when it's the size of a pinhead, before it can be detected with any type of testing with traditional medicine. And then there's also something called the Greece test, which the lab is in Greece. It's a 55,000 square foot lab. It's top of the art lab, and they filter the blood and count circulating tumor cells to see how much growth there is, and then they can actually test those cancer cells against natural extracts to see what kills the cancer quickest. And they can also do that with chemotherapy agents. So, instead of a cookie-cutter approach that traditional medicine uses, you can really target your approach and say, well, these cancer cells respond to vitamin C and curcumin and quercetin, but they don't respond to, Salicinium or this other herb, artisan or whatever. So it gives you a very targeted protocol that you can follow and measure results.
It's amazing. This was great that you came on. And if I need to look into more depth, I looked at your website, breastcancerconqueror.com, and there's so much good information on there. You're a very busy person. You're saving the world, Dr. V. So we appreciate it that you took about half an hour of your time. I hope this was this fun for you to get the word out. I hope you enjoyed this.
Oh, it was perfect. And you're both great hosts and made it very easy and very comfortable. So thank you.
Yeah, and
we'll
get all your info out for you, Dr. V, and make sure people follow you and all that good stuff. So thanks so much for joining us Yeah, stay in touch, okay?
Okay, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah. No, she really is. And I have to say, we've done a few shows now. it's still the November. It's not Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but I really don't care about that when we have a guest like that, because the information and the techniques, and it's incredible. I love having a guest on like that, and I'm kind of hanging on every word. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I just want to reach out and give her a hug and tell her thank you for doing this, and because I'm always that, and I know you are too. Like, let food be your medicine. That's such a motto in my life. And sugar is the devil's poison, and that sort of thing. So when you have someone that's been so successful and has so much, I wish I knew half of what she knew. So I just want to reach out and give her a big hug. So. Yeah.
No, and I like the fact that someone like her can go into a lot of detail. Okay, so that you get someone on there that's obviously well schooled, well trained, knows everything about this line of work, but can also come back to kind of what I talk about, you talk about to people every day, that there's still just a huge importance with diet, exercise, rest, and emotional well-being. So she hit four things there that I know that I like to talk about a lot to people. And you can use those words and kind of paint with a broad brush. But if people focus on those four types of things, those other things, but those four things, that's a big start. And that's a big lifestyle thing right there. So I guess what I'm saying is, when people listen to this and they hear a doctor, know that doctors are even preaching the same thing that Beth, you and I preach to people too. I mean, some of the stuff is simple, and we want people to have that information.
And she's absolutely gorgeous. You need to look at her website. She's absolutely gorgeous. So
yeah.
She's empowering
and
women around the globe. That's her little tagline.
Exactly. So that's going to do it. Beth, thanks for setting up that interview. She was terrific. And again, if people want to find out more about Dr. V, they can go to breastcancerconqueror.com. You can look her up online, and I'm sure she's happy to field questions. I need to leaf through her book a little bit because I'm sure it's wonderful. You've read it twice, right? Did you say you read it twice, Beth?
I did.
Yeah.
I almost read it back to back. Yep.
Yeah.
It's that good. Her story is amazing. Yeah. It's just a really good read too.
If I wrote a book, would you read it, or would you get through maybe a couple
of course I would read it, because I'm sure I would be mentioned in it. So I'd have to.
You would
yeah,
be.
Of course I would read it.
You would say, oh, Mark Prescott's book, I got through two pages and I fell asleep. Oh.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We will be back next week with an all-new show. And until then, Beth, thanks for joining and all your hard work, as always. I hope you have a good rest of the week. And for everybody else out there, have a great rest of the week. Stay safe. Take care of each other, everybody. We'll see you next time.